if you've noticed a pattern in the evening services over the last few weeks. James and Sam both mentioned that the evening service texts that they were preaching on were not exactly of their choosing. I had given them a text. I think that probably was a little bit awkward for them, perhaps. The reason we're doing that and the pattern that we're following here is my hope is that the morning and evening texts would be similar in the themes that they're dealing with. If we're preaching from the New Testament in the morning, as we have been doing, then in the evening we'll look at something from the Old Testament, the opposite testament, but the goal is that they're talking about much the same thing. Hope is that as we kind of sandwich the day with the same ideas, we'd have our minds focused themes and see that they're themes that are all through the scripture. So that's something that you could be looking for next time. Thinking to the morning and then hearing what we're looking at in the evening, saying, okay, what's the connection between those things? Today we have the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 12. In the morning, we looked at the longing and the relief of Paul. Here, I think you'll hear some of the same ideas. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Let's pray as we turn our attention to that text. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these broad themes that run through your word from beginning to end. And we pray that as we turn our attention again to longing and relief, to hope deferred and longing fulfilled, we pray that you would give us minds to be able to see you are the God who will fulfill every righteous desire that we have. Lord, help us to look to you as we consider these things. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I love about the Proverbs is how concrete they are, how solid, how they give specific examples, how they bring our own experiences to mind. In preaching on the Proverbs, there are some confusing things when you come to this book. Are the Proverbs just observations of how life is? Are they prescriptive? Are they telling you how to live, or are they descriptive? Are they telling you what life is like? But even if we're stepping back from those kinds of questions, we can look at even a proverb like this one and say it's powerful and memorable. It's rooted in our experience as humans. We have experienced hopes deferred, and we have experienced longings fulfilled. I'd like us to start just by talking a little bit about those phrases, making sure we know what this writer of the Proverbs is talking about. A hope deferred. What is that? Well, it's not a hope canceled. It's not a hope ended. It's a hope postponed or pushed off into the future. There's a hope for something, but it just never seems to quite get there. You were told you would thing, but it just seems like it's so far away. Kids here, imagine that your parent tells you that you're going to get ice cream today. He tells you, for some reason, right when you get up in the morning, today we're going to go get ice cream. Now, for those who are our parents, imagine that you just, for no good reason at all, did that. 7 a.m., just told your kids, we're going to get ice cream, and then you didn't tell them when. How many times could they ask you between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.? Between 7 a.m. and noon? I mean, if you didn't actually tell them to stop, that's what we normally do, right? If you ask me again, we won't do it, right? But if you didn't do that, they would just keep asking and asking. And if you never told them when, at some point, maybe by 7:15, maybe by lunch, I don't know exactly when, but at some point, those children would be full of frustration and disillusionment and discouragement and anger, probably, eventually. I think Proverbs has a picturesque way of talking about that whole stew of emotions. It says that's a sick heart. You can probably identify with that idea of a sick heart. I don't know if any of you have seen maybe a YouTube video or something like that of what some people call the marshmallow test. I don't know if this rings a bell with anyone. It's kind of a psychological to measure children's ability to delay gratification. So psychologists, for I don't really know what reason, but they would bring kids in and they would have them sit down at a table with a little plate, and they would put a marshmallow on the plate, and they would tell the child, you can eat that marshmallow, but if you wait, we'll give you 5 marshmallows later. And then the person in charge of the test would just leave the room. And you'd have a video camera trained on the face of the child. If you haven't looked at that, you should go look this up. It's terrific, right? Some of the children are like little robots, and they just sit there and wait. But not many. Most of them wear their feelings very much on their face. They're staring at that marshmallow, and they're sniffing it and licking it. Some of them try to eat just small pieces. Maybe they won't notice if I do it. They're quivering with anticipation. They're visually, if you're just watching them, they're visually sick at heart. Of course, having a sick heart isn't typically something that's funny. I mean, a sick heart is something that's about things often a lot more serious than ice cream or marshmallows. We experience all kinds of hopes deferred. Hopes for a promotion, or hopes for a child, or hopes for the salvation of a loved one, or hopes for a marriage, or all kinds of hopes we might have. When our hopes are deferred, they're held off, we have often sick hearts. think of that phrase at the other side of the proverb, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When we get what we've been waiting for, it's a tree of life. Maybe if you hear that phrase, a tree of life, your mind would immediately go to sort of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. I don't think that's what he's thinking about in this proverb. We think of the land of Israel, a dry, desert place. We could think of scrubby little trees and bushes here and there. Trees, real trees, grow in well-watered places. They provide shade. They're an indication of rich growth. Living in Pennsylvania, I think we very much take them for granted. But a tree is a shade-giving symbol of health and satisfaction. I think that's what the author is pointing here, to a tree of life. Hopefully, we're seeing something of the imagery of this proverb, a hope deferred, heart sick, longing fulfilled, a tree of life. Now, as I was thinking about those phrases and that idea of hope deferred, it made me think of Christianity. Christianity really is, in a lot of ways, a hope-deferred religion, isn't it? God makes promises all the way back in the Garden of Eden, promises pointing forward to a Messiah, to a deliverer. But God's people must wait thousands of years. We have prophecy after prophecy, all of them pointing forward and all of them calling people to wait for God's deliverance. One passage that really came to my mind with regard to this, and I'd encourage you to turn there. We're not going to read a lot of it, but I want you to just kind of look there in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. This is that passage on faith and the heroes of the faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see. If you just skim through that passage, Hebrews 11, you see character after character who's experiencing hope deferred. Almost everyone in this chapter. Probably the greatest example is Abraham. You can see the description of him, verses 8 to 12. God tells him, go to this land and I'm going to give it to you. Your descendants are going to possess this land. And they do 400 years later. Says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. It's a wonderful hope for Abraham. And he never sees it. God tells him, I'm going to give you a son. Now, wait. Verse 10 explains Abraham's perspective on God's promise. Look at that verse. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham's looking forward, but he never sees it in this life. And that's what we see with all of these Old Testament heroes, looking forward, hope deferred. And we see that that's a New Testament theme as well. It's not just the Old Testament heroes of the faith. When we come to the New Testament, we're called to live upright, godly lives as we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's hope deferred. Revelation 22, right near the very end of the Bible, ends with those words, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." That is hope deferred. Waiting for 2,000 years. Now the question I want us to ask as we're moving toward the end here is, how do we keep from having a sick heart when we're waiting, when our hope is deferred? How do we avoid having a sick heart? Two things came to my mind. One, how we avoid having a sick heart when our hope is deferred is to recognize that the waiting is intentional. If we think back to that example with the ice cream cone, you told your children you were going to go get an ice cream cone at some point today. It is difficult for them to wait for that ice cream cone. It's even harder if you feel like your parent is just lying around doing nothing. If there's no reason for the wait, it's just a whim of your parent. They could go anytime, they just don't feel like it now. I think in some ways it would be easier to wait if you realized there was a plan. This is the reason no parents ever get their kids up and just say, "We'll go for ice cream sometime today," right? Either you don't tell them, or you tell them what the schedule is. "We'll go at 3, and don't ask me before then," right? You have a plan worked out. When we think of our hope deferred, our hope in the return of Christ, one way that we can avoid having a sick heart is to realize that God has a plan for this waiting. We can sometimes feel like God is just hanging out, busy somewhere else, or maybe he forgot. But the truth is that God is working his purpose out. He has a plan for our waiting. He has a plan for our waiting for the return of Christ. He has the plan, a plan for every good hope of ours that is deferred. Part of that plan is that we grow in faith through waiting. In some ways, I think that's what Hebrews 11 and also Hebrews 12 is about. Waiting provides the opportunity to display our faith. God has a purpose for our deferred hope. That's the first way of avoiding having a sick heart. The second is to dwell on the glory of that tree of life. To dwell on what that longing fulfilled will be like. One way we combat our own impatience sometimes is to downplay the gratification. To think, you know what, I really don't like ice cream all that much anyway. I'll just eat some candy. I'll focus on something else. Or tell ourselves not to really think about what's promised. It's easier to wait if I just don't think about it at all. Just delight myself with the here and now. Don't think about the hope deferred. That's a possible response for us because most of us live pretty diverting lives. We enjoy our lives here. We can enjoy building our own little estates. We can look forward to small things like vacations and holidays and big purchases and retirement. We can downplay in our minds what's promised and divert ourselves with what is present. Of self-medication for a sick heart. But another way of addressing that problem would be to dwell on the hope deferred. To visualize it in all of its glory. Back to that ice cream example. I know I've been going back to this a lot. But the child could choose to stop thinking about the ice cream, or the child could fill his mind with it. To picture that treat coming up, the swirls of chocolate, each individual topping added. Imagine it so well that you could almost taste the dessert. Be in a state of transportation before you even get to the ice cream parlor. I think maybe that is more what we're called to do. Living as Christians with deferred hope. Not to stop thinking about that hope, but to think about it all the more vividly. To think about that tree of life. To immerse ourselves in our future hope. To look forward to the return of Christ with joyful longing. Revelation 21 and 22. And think about the day when Christ will wipe away every tear. The new Jerusalem will be revealed, when we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be like Jesus. We're called to dwell on those promises to come. Desire them. Let them fill our minds and drive out our sickness of heart. May that be our experience. In Psalm 37:4, we read, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Earlier I said that Christianity is a hope deferred kind of religion. And in some ways, as I continued thinking about it, I saw that that's kind of actually a silly way of speaking. Christianity is a hope-deferred religion for Christians who are living right now. But it makes much more sense to say that Christianity is a longing-fulfilled religion. For the billions who have put their trust in Jesus and found that tree of hope. May we spend these few decades we have with a hope deferred, longing for Christ. May we look forward to an eternity of fulfillment with him. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are a God who knows our hearts, and you have given us hopes. Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength to trust that you are not a cruel God who raises up hopes inside us only to defer them and cancel them.
Lord, help us to trust that you are a God who gives us hope so that we can have the joy of seeing those hopes fulfilled. Lord, please help us to wait for you. Help us to look forward with joy, trusting that you're a God who fulfills our hopes. In Jesus' name, amen.